Thank you very much, Angela, and thank you very much to Tim for inviting me here, coming all the way down from Ottawa. In fact, some people say that the best thing about Ottawa is Montreal, but I won't go there. I do want to talk to you very much. My presentation is going to be very much aligned along this notion of partnerships. It is a way of life at IDRC, but I want to tell you about IDRC first, because although some of you I know in the audience are aware of who we are and what we do, I think sometimes in Canada, I think it's our best kept secret. And so I'm here to break it out of the box and tell you about an organization that's celebrating its 40th birthday this year. So it's quite young. And to tell you what kind of opportunities that there are for partnering with IDRC on many different levels. So let me tell you about the organization itself. We're based in Ottawa. We're a federal crown corporation. That means we're primarily funded by the Canadian government. But as a crown corporation, we sit at arm's length from government, where we have a board of governors. In fact, we have a corporate structure that looks very much like a private company. We have a president and a corporate structure in which folks sit, and a board of governors that is made up of 21 individuals, 10 of whom are from developing countries, and 11 of whom are Canadian. And so we carry forth a mission that was a vision generated by Lester Pearson, actually 41 years ago, which was based on a very simple premise. And that was that development is ultimately dependent on the capacity to generate new knowledge in developing countries, by developing countries, for developing countries. And so, very broadly speaking, the International Development Research Center operates like a combined tri-council, a CIHR, SHRC, and NSERC, giving research grants to researchers in the developing world to pursue problems that they've identified and that they have prioritized in terms of their own agenda for development in their country of origin. I'll give Anna credit at the end. She's one who put a lot of work into this. She works with me at IDRC. And so 40 years ago, amongst the various mandates that were given to IDRC, one of which was to find innovative ways to improve health, by promoting research in low and middle income countries, to support researchers, research networks, and institutions in low and middle income countries, and to apply that knowledge for the economic and social advancement of scientists, societies in developing countries. And so what I'm going to do is take you through a very brief look at how IDRC creates partnerships in order to do this. We're a relatively small organization, and we sit in that interesting space between a development agency and a research funder. We have about 450 people who work for IDRC, the majority of whom work in Ottawa, but we have six regional offices in the developing world, in Montevideo in Uruguay, Dakar, Senegal, Nairobi in Kenya, Cairo in Egypt, Delhi in India, and in Singapore. And through these field-based offices and through the concentration of work that's going on in Ottawa, we try and fulfill this mandate, which is very ambitious and I think very visionary and unique in terms of the world. And in fact, we're constantly told that we do occupy that unique space between a development agency and a research funder, and as a consequence of that are very frequently sought out by other organizations to partner with because we occupy that that space. Now, in terms of global health research, the question that I asked Anna was, what's not on this slide? And indeed, because we cover the spectrum of research in global health, everything, in fact, is there. But we do it in a very small, modest, I would say, typically Canadian way. Our former president used to talk about IDRC's role as being the venture capitalist of ideas. And I'll expand on that because our financial contribution to this this undertaking, which is global in scope and extensive and deep, as you can see in terms of topics, is supported with a very modest budget. And so we like to think that we're on the leading edge of many of the ideas in these different fields, and we'll take a great deal of risk. Risk is something that IDRC embraces. We endorse it. I like looking on the edge into the abyss and imagining what might happen there. And so that's the kind of organization we are. We do not have gobbles of money the way some other organizations do, but we do have an innovative approach to development. I will say, just from an organizational perspective, there are five program areas, which if you come from the university sector, you can envision as faculties. The Global Health Research Program is called Research for Health Equity. We have four others, social and economic policy, agriculture and the environment, science and technology, and another program, information and communications for technologies for development, and I direct the first and last of those. So our partnership program is driven by 10 fundamental principles, and I'm not going to go into the details of those, but I've got some brochures here, Real Propaganda, that I'd be happy to give out. I got a bunch of these that go through the principles of partnerships at all levels, but let me talk initially about donor partnerships, because as I said, we are sought out. We try and leverage the thought leadership that IDRC brings to the whole field, where we're making small investments that potentially have high impact. We do take risks, as I said, and we don't operate, as I said, we do operate as a grant-making organization, that is very true, but we approach it from a grants plus perspective. And the plus side of this are the staff that work at IDRC. All of the staff that work for me in the two different program areas that I direct are fully qualified researchers themselves. And they develop very, very close partnerships with our researchers in the developing world to develop proposals, to take those proposals right through from the initial idea through to a full proposal that is then funded by IDRC. Our agenda is entirely set by the South, in the South. As I said, we step back a little bit from Canadian foreign policy priorities, and we do an extensive consultation with the research community in the developing world to understand what are the drivers and what are the priorities now in terms of their agendas and how can we assist them with that. We have a very explicit focus on moving research out of the laboratory or out of the field, as it may be, and into the policy-making process. The whole emphasis on knowledge translation is a fixation with us, and we want to make sure that the research results and outcomes and outputs that come from IDRC-sponsored research find their way into the policy arena so that, indeed, sustainable change through legislation or through policy, in fact, can assure that the kind of research and the research results we're generating will be integrated into policy. So the question is, why do we partner? We partner for a number of reasons, the main driver being the Paris Declaration that a number of years ago declared that the whole donor agenda in developing countries was a mass of confusion, and that many developing countries were reporting that in some instances, Rwanda, for example, in one particular area of global health research has to report back on some 500 different indicators to different donors on a regular occasion. And so the Paris Declaration said, would the donor community please get your act together and please coordinate what you're doing so that you're not placing ridiculous, redundant demands on your recipients and partners. And so we live that out through our donor partnerships. So our partnerships are really driven by that Paris agenda, which is a harmonization, coordination of development research, promote the idea of promoting and sharing knowledge that comes out of the research programs with other organizations, obviously to leverage our resources, financial and human resources, so that we can increase our grants, to build capacity within the research community in the developing world, and to leverage investment for value-added propositions. So we were able to look at phase one, phase two of any particular project and take it into a realm that builds on past experience. So I'm going to talk to you very briefly about four different modalities of partnerships at IDRC. I've already alluded to the donor partnerships. Co-funding is the usual way in which we partner. This is where the donor organization will pool funds with IDRC. The pooled funds are then administered by IDRC through our grant-making process. This is where the leveraging of financial resources comes into play. There's also a parallel funding partnership model for donors, where we will independently fund the same organization, but again, coordinate on the knowledge sharing and knowledge translation side of things. And we have large partnerships with other Canadian organizations that I'll be telling you about, where funds will move through what is a process that's rather mysterious called parliamentary transfers that take money out of one arm of the federal government and bring them to IDRC. The research partnerships that we establish are those partnerships with what some people would call our grantees or our recipients, but we call them our research partners because of that Grants Plus approach, the relationship that gets developed between IDRC and the grantees is much, much deeper. We don't simply fund a project and walk away from it. It's a long-term proposition, as I said, begins with the initial genesis of the idea. I'm going to talk to you very briefly about intergovernmental partnerships that we have just established at IDRC. It's brand new, called the Global Alliance for Chronic Diseases. So this is an initiative where the Government of Canada is partnering with other national governments. And within the Government of Canada itself, I'm going to talk to you very briefly about the Global Health Research Initiative, which is a partnership of five government agencies in Canada to leverage their expertise in global health research. So just to give you an idea of the organizations that we do partner with from a donor perspective, there are a large number of them, and you can see the dollar value of those partnerships. In each of these cases, the organization, the foundation, the government agency has approached IDRC with a proposition and said, let's partner on a particular initiative that we may have seed-funded and got going, and these donor partnerships allow us to scale up, which is obviously part of what we're all interested in. And so you can see there's a wide diversity from government relations with the Swiss government, SDC, for example, Bill and Melinda Gates, the UK Department for International Development, and so on and so on. To break that down in terms of a dollar figure, over this past year, we have leveraged around $140 million in donor partnerships in global health research. Parallel funding, as I mentioned, the funds are not pooled, but we do leverage the sharing of knowledge, as I said. And so that's where the plus side of IDRC's work comes in, where we're able to bring the research expertise and experience in our staff together with donor partners to leverage quality and the quality of work going on. This is not the usual way in which we partner. We do like to pool funds. We think we get a bigger bang for our buck in that environment. So you can see the figure is much lower. We have parallel funded projects with a variety of different organizations, as you can see, CEDA, CIHR, the Novartis Foundation. And I'm not going to talk to you about OASIS because I've got two partners actually here in the audience I'm very pleased to see. Hamish Fraser is going to be talking from Partners in Health. We'll be talking to you this afternoon. And I don't know if Peter Singer is here yet. There he is right over here. Another long-standing partner with IDRC who will be talking to you about their partnerships with our organization. And so let me get into just some examples of this. So here's some dollar figures. You can see the title, if you will, of the various partnership projects that we've embarked on. You can see that CEDA, by far and away, is the biggest project. We good? 5 minutes. Okay, so GHRI is a whole-of-government approach. It involves the five agencies, IDRC, CETA, PHAC, Health Canada, and CIHR. We have a steering committee composed of representatives of each of all of those. This is a leveraging environment, and it's a vehicle for delivering Canadian platforms for global health research. We have a very, very extensive list of projects that are funded through GHRI. And in 2009, a very interesting and thought-provoking and controversial, in fact, a special issue of the International Health and Human Rights Journal was published, showing that, in fact, in the case of immunization programs in the developing world, the problem in getting vaccines to those who require them, in fact, through so-called universal coverage programs was not the supply of vaccines, but in many cases, the demand side. The Global Alliance on Chronic Diseases, this is the newest example of a partnership that we have developed. The Memorandum of Understanding has just been signed, I'm delighted to say. You can see that it involves the world's largest grant-making organizations in the field of global health in the world. The potential of the Global Alliance is huge, and I suggest that you should watch this space for opportunities, because we're just beginning to realize what the potential of the Global Alliance is going to be. In our initial call around the research priorities within the Global Alliance, it has been decided that there will be an initial emphasis on hypertension, which is a global epidemic in the developing world. An example of a donor partnership is the Nigeria Evidence-Based Health System Initiative, or NESI as we like to call it. There is a Scotsman involved, so we felt kind of loyal that we should call it NESI. This is a partnership with CETA. This initiative is an exercise in capturing household-level data on health issues. So it uses a demographic site survey methodology to do household surveys in two sites in Nigeria, in Cross River State and Bauchi. And some of the work that's already coming out of this relatively new initiative that is now 2 years old was the data that indicated unofficial fees were being collected for health services, and so the project printed up user fees, presented those to households, and now they actually know what it is that they are to pay for particular health services. In terms of the program area for research for health equity that I direct, we have 91 active projects around the world. The GHRI, the Global Health Research Initiative, allocated $9 million. Together with the research on international tobacco control the governance, equity, and health program, we're allocating roughly $13.3 million this year. There are a variety of different initiatives that are undergoing within IDRC, within that program area, that I'd be happy to talk about with you. Looking ahead, as I said, we do stand a little bit back from government priorities, but we have been very focused and very much active in the whole area of maternal and child health, which aligns now very well with government priorities. The emerging emphasis that we have through the Global Alliance on Chronic Diseases and other issues, particularly issues around governance and financing, access, issues around equity, alternative means of preventing of providing care in resource-limited settings, and so on. Thank you very much for your attention. As I said, I've got some pamphlets here I'd be happy to hand out to you later. So thanks very much.